When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are back with Sir Croakington, and we are back with Proving Ground 6. And something has happened to Uriel, and I'm 100% sure it's my fault. The Elder Throne, Part 3. Begin. The conclusion of the previous part. The young woman standing in the spacious cabin's crooked doorway, her hands plated on her lips and her eyes scouring the body strewn across the floor, is, unmistakably, Uriel. The spellcaster you first met amidst the ruins of Kharis Tarn, and who has since played an important, though mysterious, role in the affair, began with the journey of the leather-bound journal, discovery of the leather-bound journal in Mixville. An event that seems to have taken place in another lifetime, because it did. Uriel glances about at the gruesome evidence of violence that fills the cabin, the most recent of which was her own undoing and sighs. She then steps into the room and closes the door behind her. "Sufficient as ever," she says coldly, raising her hands to meet your stare. "It's no wonder the Thane Thorling come trust you to carry out these delicate sort of missions. He knows the value of alliance, at least as it pertains to his designs. Yet I wonder at the fact you never seem to tire of being employed in such an abject fashion." Her words immediately alarm you. It takes you only a moment to come to the realization the young spellcaster you once knew, you last met as a young girl in a wintry vale, it's not the staunch ally you remember. A tone, a demeanour, and the inexplicable sense of gnawing dread you feel in her presence suggests she's a determined and deadly foe. I guess that's some memories creeping up from the body that I'm suddenly in. "Give me the box," she says, raising her hands and splaying the fingers. "I didn't remind you of our last encounter. I took pity on you and allowed you a shameful escape. There is no longer room for such pity. This game is nearing its end, and that end will never again be in question. I see you still bear the mark." Louis's unnerving gaze darts the left side of your neck. Instinctively, you reach across and run your fingers across a patch of rugged, misshapen flesh running from the bottom of your ear to the top of your shoulder. It is the seared remains of a fearsome burn. I warn you, Sir Croakington," she says, as the tips of her spread fingers begin to smoulder. "You meddle in matters that do not concern you, matters that you will never comprehend. I've issued you this very warning before, as you undoubtedly recall. But I will not do so again. Give me the books, or die where you stand." Whew. Guess we have to fight. Alright, yeah, and she's sounding quite a bit like the Witches of Cardson. Which makes sense, because it seems that she too has fallen in love with the power of those thrones. And on the way, her soul was just scooped out and tossed aside. Which just sucks for her. But I don't know if there's anything left to save anymore. Uriel's warning carries with it a grim sense of urgency. Her gaze hardens as she awaits your response. What you've witnessed in this cabin, Uriel is a mage who wields incredibly powerful magic. You've little doubt that she would prove a formidable foe if you were to attempt to engage her. I've got two options here. I can give the journals to Uriel, or refuse to give her the journals. Now, I'm pretty sure if she gets the journals, they will be used to start this nonsense all over again. And you know what? Maybe the world won't survive it. Or I could refuse to give her journals and she will definitely fight me. And, I mean, she was a friend in another time in another place and I really don't want to do so. Alright, I'm mainly going to give the journals, just to see what happens. You hand the journals to Uriel. She takes hold of the trio of leather-bound books and smiles. Then, much to her surprise, she thanks you and bows. Now at last to be rid of you, she says, raising her white hand as her eyes adopt a faint white glow. Yeah. Oh, good. She's attacking us. That means I don't have to, you know, sneak up on her later and take back the journals. Saves me any moral ambiguity. A powerful, draining sensation takes form in the core of your being as the sorceress' powerful magic assails both your life force and your magical reserves. Alright, picking a number. Bonus of 60. 20 from mind, 20 from aura, 20 from spirit. Gotta get 100 or more or be... Well, I'm not sure what will happen, but I'll surely be hurt a lot. And maybe all my never reserve will go? Maybe just some of it? Anyway, pick now and find out. 116 success. A remarkable feat of mental fortitude allows you to stave off the worst of Uriel's powerful draining attack. Your insolence ends here, she growls, sneering. Uriel firmly plants her feet and raises her left hand in your direction as she prepares to unleash her deadly telekinetic powers. Once again, I have a few options. All of these are at level 80 plus because she is a very powerful mage who you really should not mess with, as a lot of Tazal and a lot of, well, everything has discovered much to their displeasure. Although admittedly the displeasure was very short because of them dying. But still. Anyway, they're all magics at telekinesis, fortification, elementalism, shadow magic, gating and illusion, all at 80 plus. I could also rush forward and attack her. Now I'm going to use random dot, as always with these things. Going to be using random.org to tell me what to do. Number 3, apparently I'm just going to rush forward and attack her. Oh well, that's what random.org said. Turns out I leveled up my telekinesis to 80 for no reason. But, oh well. It's still there for when eventually another adventure comes round that uses it. This is probably just about the only time in the game where you need it. Because, I mean, for most cases, 70 has been enough. So, just rush forward and attack her. Yes, I know she's a master mage. But I'm not quite sure how good she is at the physical combat, so maybe I can beat her with that. Watch for an attack. You charge across, you spring towards Uriel. Also spinning while you do so, because that somehow makes you go faster because it's cool. In a desperate bid to reach her before she can unleash her deadly psionic, deadly telekinetic blast, picking a random number. Bonus of 59. 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck, 19 from feathery. Gotta get 75 or more, or she'll make my head explode. Pick now. 123 success, 32 experience to general. You reach Oreo and slam into her with your shoulder, sending her toppling backwards across the cabin. She strikes the far wall and collapses onto the floor with a groan. With startling quickness, the spellcaster staggers to her feet and turns to face you. Your charge has left you standing in front of the cabin door. You saw as you could easily escape before Oreo is able to unleash another attack. Now, of course, I could attack her and, you know, make sure she can't get up, possibly by killing her, which I really don't want to do, because there's another Oreo in another time and another place who is a dear friend. This one, not so much. Or I could flee immediately and just hope that doesn't bite me in the ass. No, you know, I'm going to flee immediately. You turn and take flight, dashing out of the cabin onto the foggy deck, hoping you will be able to escape from Uriel. Because, quite frankly, compared to her, anything else in the boat really isn't a concern. If there's any of them left, that is. Because, I mean, this is evil mode Uriel. I mean, regular Uriel would have no problem blasting through the boat. But evil mode Uriel would you know, go out of the way to do it, possibly. You know, just for the evils or something. You race along the deck of the ship, now and again ducking into a shadowy corner of the vessel to avoid a group of soldiers. Soldiers who are now searching the ship for any sign of you. Ah, surprised there are any left, but I guess you just beeline straight for me. Straight for the box. After several tense minutes, you at last reach the gangplank leading down into the quay. Much to relief, the gangplank appears to be unguarded. I mean, who are the powers here? Okay, there must be at least three factions going on, because Oreo is fighting two people who are definitely not aligned. So, okay, there's me and Thane Thorlan and Owl. I do not know who else is in this confederation. Our goal is to get the journals and burn them before they cause any more trouble. There's the captain and the people on the ship. They take the journals somewhere, presumably where, even if they don't intend it, they will end up causing problems. And there's Uriel, who I'm pretty sure is under the sway of the thrones now, who wants to take the journals and perhaps she sincerely believes that she could use them to go back in time and set things right. But the thrones won't let her do that. And quite frankly, they probably won't even let her remember that was what she wanted to do. Yes. Perhaps the thrones are behind both. They're just not that concerned about if their dudes fight their dudes. Because they're patient. They can get more dudes if they wait long enough. Suddenly, a voice rings out from up ahead. You flash a glance in the direction of the sound and note, with growing dismay, two soldiers moving swiftly towards you. The foremost of the soldiers is carrying a crossbow. And he quickly raises and trains on you. You have only a split second to choose your next course of action. Alright. Six options here. Because we're not dealing with a master mage. Or more like... Wait. What was it called when someone's level 80? Grand Master Mage. The sextet checks are a lot lower. Some 70, one at 60. We can use telekinesis, fortification, shadow magic, elementalism, attack the soldiers, or attempt to flee again. I'm doing that a lot recently. Alright, once again, I'll turn to random.org. Number between 1 and 6. Number 5. I guess we're attacking the soldiers. You bound across the deck in a desperate attempt to reach the foremost soldier before he is able to release his shot. Picking a number. Bonus of 50. 20 from agility, 20 from body, 10 from luck. Now, I think there might actually be a chance that literally no one has seen this event before. It may well have happened. Or if that has been seen, if it has been seen by people, it's very, very few of them for sure, because it's in no way mentioned on the wiki. The whole Uriel goes bad thing was literally just one line on the wiki, and we've been spending several minutes in that so far. There's been checks, there's been choices, all sorts of stuff. Anyway, picking a number, bonus of 50. 20 from agility, 20 from body, 10 from luck. Alright, I'm just gonna spring into his crotch. Yes, that would stop him aiming. Yes, that would definitely stop. And a success of 75 or more. And then they'd be far too busy clutching down there and doubled over in pain to really be all that concerned with, you know, shooting this inexplicably well-armed toad that's hopping about. Pick now. 69, failure. I'm springing in the air and the owl shoots me in midair. The deadly missile streaks through the air and slams into your underside, tearing open a wide, jagged gash from which spills a small torrent of blood. Fortunately, I had some armour on there, so it's not immediately fatal. Lost 52 stamina points. Severely wounded, but miraculously still alive. You managed to pull the blood-drenched missile from your flesh and cast it onto the deck. Emboldened by your perceived weakened state. Oh, you think that's enough to slow down Sir Crokington? Oh, you sweet summer child. You have no idea what you're in for. The two soldiers rush forward and attack. The two soldiers shout and attempt to raise the alarm as they slash at you with their swords. Yes. Shout. You're gonna need a lot of reinforcements to stop Sir Crokison. I mean, you're green difficulty. You're probably gonna be a 3+. Because most fights are. Unless they're fights that you're not supposed to fight them yet. This is a green 3+ difficulty. Just run away and figure out how to make it weaker. Begin combat. Now, I can kill or subdue. Now, these people are just doing their job and they have no idea they're accidentally serving ultimate evil. So I'm just going to knock them out, shove them in some room where there's some soft pillows or something. And then they can wake up later and go, oh, well, all right, well, yeah, okay, she escaped, but you were knocked out, so we can't really hold you responsible. Alright, subdue your enemy. Yeah, yes, I have a general rule that unless someone has shown themselves to be an absolute twat, If I have the option to subdue, I take it. You swing your club at the enemy. The soldiers slash at you with their swords. Keep going, keep going, keep going. You have subdued your foe. 5 XP. With the two guards wallowing around in agony on the deck of the galleons, victims of your superior combat pack prowess, and a little bit of toady poison. Just a little bit. Not enough to be fatal. Hopefully. Anyway. Anyhow, I left them a little note saying how they can cure it. If it turns out to be a bit bad. You turn and sprint down the gangplank. You breathe a sigh of relief as your feet land on the quayside. You move away from the harbour. You swiftly move away from the harbour area, passing first through a bustling merchant district, and then into a broad square that lies just inside the city's imposing west gate. There, in the shadow of Port Halleck's ancient ivy-covered walls, the base of one of the port's many guard towers, you pause to catch your breath and contemplate your current circumstance. You'll need these. The soft voice that suddenly enters your left ear causes you to jump. Something lands on the ground next to you. Ignoring this, you spin around and see a thin figure slipping around the eastern edge of the tower. In a matter of a few moments, the figure has disappeared into the crowd of people moving through the city gates. You've little doubt the slender figure, now nowhere to be seen, whose voice was somehow familiar, was that of Owl. Your gaze promptly descends upon the cloth bag lying at your feet. Much to your surprise and relief, you discover the bag contains the three journals taken by Uriel only a short while ago. Thanks, Owl! You made up for my incredible stupidity! That's a bit of a trend you're getting into. You carefully tuck the leather-bound books in amongst your other belongings, before once again turning your full attention to decide upon your next course of action. Standing at the base of the guard tower, your eyes scouring the bustling square that lies just inside the city gates, you're suddenly overcome by a flood of vivid memories. Disorientating and unnerving sensation leaves you reeling, but in its wake you find your immediate objective has been made plain. I guess the mind of who I was in the time I came from and who I was in the time who I am in the time I'm stuck in are more and more syncing up. So I'm not sure whether this will actually overwrite anything, but who knows? Time travel. It's very wibbly-wobbly timey-wimey. And honestly, no, it's not the sort of thing you mess with enough to find out exactly how it works. Also, it's like fictional, so you can, you know, have it work however you want. You recall the mission given to you by Thane Forlorn, to travel to Mergsbrough and retrieve the three journals in the keeping of one of the Thane's most trusted agents. Oh, okay. You remember arriving in Mergsbrough only to find yourself the target of the ambush by the sinister minions of a faceless, nameless enemy. Having survived the unexpected attack, led by a trio of fire-wielding Tuzar warriors, you discovered that the books were bound for Port Halleck, where they were to become part of the cargo of a ship bound for, of all places, Sarngard Isle. Yes, well, there's definitely one of those thrones there. And lots of Waven Bone, which I think is also useful. So the book, plenty, definitely uses for the books there. When you inform Thane Fortland of this turn of events, you are immediately dispatched to the port city. There, you sought the home of a man you formerly knew as the daring Master Thief Owl. The mysterious and malevolent rogue, those incomparable thieves skills as a thief and infiltrator will prove invaluable to the task of locating the journals. You now clearly remember the words of Thane Thorlan, spoken just before you set out for Fort Harlech. The Thane instructed you to meet up with him at a specific location in the forest south and west of the city. More than once, the Thane referred to the location as the summoning site. But what, pray tell, are they summoning? And who the heck is Thane Thorlan? I mean, he's not from this timeline. Not from this timeline at all. We have the five Thanes all accounted for. We had Porrind in the west. Wait, let's see. The Thanes. Yes, Marido in the middle, I think. Mazabak in the west, Monroe in the south, Porrind in the... No, Mazabak in the east, Porrind in the west. Thane Carriff? Yeah, Thane Carriff's in the middle. Monroe's in the north. We've met him. Enjoying Proving Grounds too. Maridol's in Groudock. We helped him out with the whole Dagger Spire thing. Yeah, so yep, that's five Thanes accounted for. So Thane Thorlan is new. Now, admittedly, I think the Thane most likely to be replaced is Mazenbach. Because without the Elder Throne there to absolutely mess up their lives, Mazenbach will probably just be a regular but incredibly skilled kid in the countryside around Cardson, just doing his regular stuff, maybe going into local politics, maybe not, never having to flee to Tysa and you know, have to scheme and plot and do all sorts of things in some sort of vague hope to take down the Grand Sentry and undo all the things that went wrong. But in this timeline, someone else has to be the Thane. And I guess whoever it is Thorlan. Who is Thane Thorlan? Having earned an almost unparalleled reputation as a heroic adventurer, as a loyal, powerful, and influential supporter of the Tyson Crown, Thane Thorlan has recently been given the task of reclaiming and securing Sarngard Isle. So he's just sort of ended up being slipped into the same role as Thane Mazabak. I'm not sure how Thane Thorlan is doing. Is he still a Thane? Does he still exist? Thane Thorlan actually in the west and we don't know who's in the east? Who knows? Anyway, there's six Thanes. There's six Thanes in the list, and there's only five Thanes at a time, so there's definitely time malarkey going on. Through relief to seemingly regaining these important memories, you're acutely aware of the constant gnawing sense of dread that has accompanied their restoration. It seems as if the conclusion of a dark and terrible business is at last at hand. But with every moment that passes, a timeless, unrelenting menace is closing in. Even now, striving to unravel, all has been brought to fruition by your grand efforts and selfless courage, as you have seen in every other episode. but most relevantly for this... The last 20 or so episodes? It's a sobering thought, and the notion that swiftly tempers the fleeting sense of relief you felt while contemplating the near and long-desired end of this shadowy affair. Refusing to become paralysed by the rising tide of despair and doubt, you resolve to focus your every effort on reaching the summoning site. With that goal now foremost in your mind, you step away from the guard tower and make your way through the gates and out of Port Harlech. As the memory of your last meeting with Thane Thortland continues to become more lucid, you turn south along a well-travelled road that leads from the gates of Port Harlech to a region of low hills and scattered forests. Following the recently recalled directions provided to you by the Thane, you soon depart from the larger road and head west along a narrow, overgrown lane that plunges into the thick of the woods. Making an aside about whether there could be more than five Thanes. Because, I mean, well, it's a king. You can twist... When you're the king, you can kind of twist the rules a little bit. If that's what it takes to keep the kingdom together. And everyone's like, you're twisting the rules. I'm like, but I'm the king. And he said, yeah. Yeah. And also, you have a really good reason. So it's weird. Now, I mean, if you're a bad king, you'd probably kick up more of a fuss. But you're a good thick king dealing with serious problems in a serious manner. So we'll let it slide. So perhaps just whenever the kingdom has something really important that needs doing, like having someone look over most of the army in Glaudok, dealing with all the crime in Twithic. Looking after the navy in Charna. Although, I think he was looking after the navy. I'll probably put them in Park War instead. But maybe he just shifted to Charna because more fun. Or maybe that's just where he was and he, you know, no one told him to move. Or maybe he left. Or maybe there's some, you know, regular non-Thane-y person who's still, you know, still incredibly respected, but not, you know, Thane level, to look after most of the navy, and he can just turn up and, you know, say, I have near world authority. There are some pirates in this cove over there. Give me as many ships as you can. We're going after them. Wahaha! Yo! And so on. Yes. And so, if something turned up in this case, like maybe, we've really got to reclaim that Sarngard Island because it's got all that Raven Bone and all that gold and all those shiny jewels. And also, everyone's just like, kind of look a bit weak if I have this goblin filled island just over there. Everyone's going to be thinking, why have you still got this goblin island over there? Can you not take it? And, you know, give the army something to do as well. Because you don't want the army to get bored. Because then they start causing problems. And admittedly, I could get rid of them, but then they also cause problems. Yeah, so you just gotta give them something to do. Now, this will keep them busy for a few decades. And if we actually have something we need the army for, we just draw them back out again. Wouldn't matter. None of the goblins and trolls there have boats. So, no matter what they do there, it can't really affect them. Can't affect the core areas. Alright, and back to the story. After nearly an hour, the path abruptly turns to the south, where it passes through a range of gaunt hillocks before descending into a broad, stony basin. pausing at the foot of one of the jagged, rocky promontories, you survey the landscape in all directions. The edge of the basin, less than 100 yards to the south, is now plainly visible. Based on what you recall from your last conversation with the Thane, the basin is the location in which your post-mission rendezvous will take place, and the final stage of this perilous affair will begin. After completing your survey of the immediate area, and finding nothing that seems to indicate the presence of any sort of immediate danger, you cautiously proceed along the winding path towards the summoning site. You reach the edge of the basin and stare down at the broad, deep bowl carved out of the boulder-strewn forest floor. In an instant, the sense of elation that came over you as you approached approached impressions replaced by profound dismay. There was no sign of anyone either in or around the summoning site. Realizing that your current vantage point places you in plain view of anyone who might be watching, you take several steps along the stony track, descend into the basin, before drawing into a halt next to the rounded shoulder of a ledge. Peering out across the shoulder of stone, you carefully study the basin. A oddly shaped stone formation rising out of the ground at the centre of the basin is just as you recall it being described for you by Thane Forlum at your last meeting, a clandestine appointment in which you suddenly recall took place in a small inn on the road to Port Halleck. You're now certain you've reached the designated spot. With a growing dismay, you find yourself struggling to contemplate what dire inferences have been drawn from the unexpected absence of the Thane and its usual contingency of guards. With no desire to allow your actions to be directed by a burgeoning sense of unease, you resolve to wait. Leaning back against the outcropping of ledge, you remain alert to the rhythmic, almost soothing sounds of the forest that drift down into the basin. After only a few moments, you become aware of a low, pulsing hum. Peering around the shoulder of rock that has so far concealed your position, you watch with widening eyes as four fire-winged portals appear in unison around the edges of the basin. The portals, one hovering against each of the basin's sides, north, south, east, and west, all emit low pulsing hums that blend in with the crackling of the fires that frame them. Your eyes are suddenly drawn to the centre of the basin, where a frail, bent figure stands alone on a patch of stony ground. The figure seemed to have appeared quite suddenly, as your sweeping gaze did not notice him only seconds ago. Despite the considerable distance that separates you, and your pulse races, as you readily identify the figure to be that of Lurakan, the man you previously as the dour-faced liaison to Thane Mazabak on Sarngard Isle. As if already aware of your presence, Lurakan turns in your direction and bows. "I've brought you something, my friend," his sinister telepathic whisper echoes through your thoughts. "Since I don't know telepathing, you're just going to have to hear it as actual sound. Sorry about that. For I heartily suppose that you will find it to your liking." Lekuin steps to the side, revealing a small, crumpled mass on the ground at his feet. You realise immediately you're looking at a body. You realise only a moment later, you look staring at the unmoving remains of the seer, Karlowith. Whoa, oh dear. Oh dear, they could take down a seer. Then that means, I don't know if there's anyone standing between our world and just being unraveled entirely. Well, whatever I gotta do it quickly. Your shock, induced by the sudden appearance of the four portals and the unexpected and sinister arrival of Lurakan, is swiftly and completely replaced by an overwhelming rage and a desire to see the bent advisor struck dead, holding out the slimmest of hopes that Karlowith is still somehow alive. You rush down into the basin, fully prepared to engage Lurakan. As he draws within a dozen yards of the seer's unmoving body, however, Luarkane suddenly sinks into the earth, as if slipping into the mouth of an unseen portal. You arrive at Colorless side and enter the basin alone. The seer appears to be dead. Before you can make a closer examination, a loud roar, issued in unison out of the inky swirling cores of each of the four portals surrounding the basin, fills you with dread. You realize at once you've walked directly into a trap. Standing over the unmoving body of Kalarith, you turn and watch, momentarily frozen in horror, as a vast and deadly force, the vile minions of a powerful and malicious enemy, pour out of the four portals in countless numbers, spilling into the boulder-strewn basin. Fire-wielding, silver armor tassel, massive stone and iron constructs, towering beings of flame, and strange swirling creatures of grey mist swarm the basin, swiftly drawing in upon your position. Instinct tells you that surviving against such seemingly impossible odds, you will need to reach the four portals. For crossing the enemy-strewn battlefield is not an endeavour you're particularly eager to undertake. You're standing on a stretch of stony earth at almost the exact centre of a wide, boulder-strewn basin. At your feet lies the body of Kalarith. Her face is turned upwards towards the sky. Lifeless eyes vividly reflect the churning grey clouds that fill the sky. Despite the chaos that rages through the basin and the vast enemy horde rapidly closing in on your location, an unexpected sense of tranquility comes over you in the presence of the deceased seer. Alright, let's have a closer look at her. Examine Kalarith's remains. Maybe she's still alive? An examination of the seer's remains reveals that she is indeed dead. Bummer. But you find your gaze inexplicably drawn to her dark, lifeless eyes. Suddenly, your gaze is drawn deep into the seer's open but motionless eyes. For fleeting moments, the seer's eyes flicker and a soft voice echoes through your thoughts. I will help you for as long as I am able. You must complete what has begun. Find the thrones. Destroy them. Her lifeless eyes flicker once more, then become still. Will they remain open? What if I look at them again? I can gaze into her eyes or step away from... But what happens if I gaze into her eyes? Your gaze is drawn into the seer's dark, lifeless eyes. A powerful sense of well-being flows for you as your gaze is drawn deeper into the fathomless depths of the seer's dark, lifeless eyes. Your stamina points have been fully restored. For a fleeting moment, the colour of his eyes flicker and a soft voice echoes through your thoughts. Hurry and complete what has begun. Destroy the thrones. Her lifeless eyes flicker open once more, become still, for they remain open. Okay. So I can get an SP restore by going here. Alright. Okay, I'm in the middle of a great big square area. And I can't see everything, but there's some sort of question mark on the east side of the square and on the south side of the square. Suddenly, a loud roar, followed by a rush of wind, fills you with dread. Spinning in the direction of the rush of wind, your heart nearly skips a beat. A wide bolt of flame, undoubtedly launched by one of the encroaching silver armor Tazal, streaks through the air towards you. You've only a split second to act. I have several options. I could use fortification, elementalism, shadow magic, attempt to dodge the deadly bolt of flame, or attempt to deflect the bolt of flame with your shield. Don't really use a shield that much outside of combat, so nice to see that mentioned. Wyrmwood.org gives me 2 elementalism. Succeeded, 24 experience to elementalism. You call upon your power of elementalism. Your timely and clever use of your magical discipline is elementalism. I spared you the ravages of the deadly bolt of flame. Suddenly, a loud roar, followed by a rush of wind, again fills you with dread. It's another of those bolts of flames. Alright, same options as before. One of the door gives me one fortification. Succeeded. 24 experience to fortification. You channel your power of fortification. The timely and clever use of your magical discipline of fortification has spared you the ravages of the deadly bolt of flame. Okay. All around you, the vile minions of the enemy are moving into the basin, stomping stone and iron constructs, vicious bands of fire-wielding Tuzzle, towering beings of stone, beings of flame, and swirling bands of grey mist are rapidly converging on your location. Examine the portals. You are currently 70 yards south of the northern portal, 45 yards west of the eastern portal. You're currently 70 yards north and 30 yards east of the southern portal. You're currently 15 yards south and 75 yards east of the western portal. So they tell you exactly where to go to get to the portals. Because with all this stuff going around, don't really have the luxury of just filling in the entire map. Suddenly, a thick swirling band of grey mist forms out of thin air right in front of you. The churning belt of fog rapidly condenses as it begins to adopt a new and hideous form. Got a lot of options here. Divination, telekinesis, illusion, necromancy, fortification, elementalism, destruction, gating, conjuration, and shadow magic. Okay, how many powers is that? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. What powers am I missing? Is it no destruction's in there? Divination's in there? Elementalism there, fortifications in there, gatings in there, illusions in there, necromancy's in there. Oh yeah, everything but restoration, because you can't really use that to, you know, attack, because it's restoration. Yeah, every magic but restoration, or I could attempt to flee, or I could hold my ground and engage the enemy. I'm going to use conjuration just to see what they do with it. Succeeded. Your timely and clever use of your power of conjuration. Oh, yeah, I'm sort of disappointed he doesn't say what you do with your power of conjuration, but I can understand. Creates an opportunity for you to deal with the churning band of mist, the devastating blow. I guess I just conjure an anvil and it drops through it, with the enemy reeling in the wake of your swift and unexpected attack. You quickly prepare for combat. With the chaotic roar of the enemy horde that fills the basin ringing in your ears, you bravely engage the churning band of mist. Suddenly, just as it draws to within melee range, the swirling cloud of fog transforms itself into the vaporous likeness of a giant floating eye. Well, I'm going to poke ya, you giant eye. And it's going to really hurt. I swing my club. The deadly giant eye of mist swells and attempts to envelop you. You feel weaker as your opponent drains the energy from your body. That takes 12 damage. Like most foes, it's a 3 plus. Special for 8. Keep going, and slain. 24 XP. Without a sound, the creature of fog rapidly dissipates, leaving behind only thin wisps of grey mist. With the enemy horde still pressing in all around you, you take only a few seconds to catch your breath, for once again setting off across the field of battle. Alright, what if I go north? Suddenly a loud roar followed by a rush of wind fills you with dread. Okay, so another bolt is shot at me. Well, I've done fortification, I've done elementalism, now shadow magic. Succeeded. You channel 24 XP to shadow magic. You channel your power of shadow magic. You check your timely and clever use of the magical discipline of shadow magic. I spared you the ravages of your deadly bolt of flame. Now, what happened was I have three shadows going for myself. And they're very long shadows because they're cast from very low to the ground. And these just reached up and just snagged the bolt. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, you just kind of, in this case, yeah, kind of have to imagine it yourself because we're talking dozens of stat checks, which many people would never see. So I can understand not wanting to write a different version for each one, but still, I'm a little disappointed. Just a timely and clever use of your magical discipline. Not, you know, explaining what you do, but yeah, well, maybe if the gem, you know, had help, he could have people fill in the gaps for him, but fill in the gaps for things that probably won't, for incredibly rare events, but still. Oh, anyway. Another bolt. Alright, now I'll use my shield.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Your shield's melee weighting bonus of plus 20 has helped to decrease the result you need to obtain for success. So this is one of those times where if you manage to have one of those uber shields. No, let's see. No, there doesn't seem to be an active adventure with recent events. Alright. What does Holly have? Oh yeah, you can't actually see the stats of the equipment anymore. So, okay. Okay, if someone has something like the Gromzok or the Everforged Shields, this would be close to or actually be impossible to fail. Anyway, using your shield, you attempt to position yourself to deflect the deadly arc of lightning now streaking towards you. Bonus 60, 20 from might, 20 from agility, 20 from body. That's as high as that can go. And success, 80 or more, pick now. 76, failure. The arc of lightning slams into you, tearing open and searing your flesh. Now, that's probably a pretty decent result, seeing as you have a way to actually restore your SP. It's probably actually better to do that than use up your very valuable Neville Reserve in against things that can just keep coming. Neville Reserve, which you cannot top up. You cry out in agony as you stagger backwards, reeling from the lingering and painful effect. So the deadly attack, 14 damage. Okay. Alright, I'm going to go for the eastern portal first. Alright, grey mist is condensing into something. Hold my ground and engage the enemy. With the chaotic roar of the enemy horde that fills the basin ringing in your ears, you bravely engage the churning band of mist. Suddenly, just as it draws to within melee range, the swirling cloud of fog transforms itself into the vaporous likeness of a hideous, long-legged spider. It's a hideous mist spider. Hey, let's not judge yet. It's probably incredibly beautiful by its own standards. The deadly, hideous mist spider swells as it attempts to envelop you. Drains energy from me for 13 damage. It fights exactly like the eye because it's just a shape. It just doesn't actually do anything. It just decided to be a spider because, well, being a spider is cool. And it is slain. 26 XP. Without a sound, the creature of mist rapidly dissipates, leaving behind only thin wisps of grey mist. With the enemy horde still pressing in on all sides, you take only a few seconds to catch your breath, for once again setting off across the field of battle. When I'm very lucky, the enemy aren't, you know, converging on me. But, maybe that's just the effect of the seer. Suddenly, a loud crackling sound, followed by a whoosh of air fusion. Dread. Oh, it's the bolt. Okay, I've done all the other options. Now dodge. You dive. You spring directly upwards in a desperate effort to throw yourself out of the path of the streaking arc of lightning. Picking your number. Bonus of 40. 20 from agility, 10 from body, 10 from luck. Got to get 70 or more, or it'll be a quite shocking result. Pick now. 89 success. You nimbly and narrowly dodge the streaking arc of lightning. Your swift reaction has spared you the ravages of the deadly attack. Alright, another bolt of that flame. A broad arc of blue on lightning. No, blue lightning, undoubtedly launched by one of the stomping constructs, streaks through the air towards you. Alright. Deflect the bolt of lightning with your shield. And yeah, it's like before. Pick now. 139 success, 8 XP to general. Using your shield, you expertly deflect the streaking arc of lightning, sending the deadly charge slamming into the earth several feet to your left. And probably blocking with your shield's probably the most sustainable way to do it, because 80% of the time, if you have the glittering ice shield equipped, which you probably do by this point in the game. And if you have anything better than that, it's even more obvious. 80% of the time, you don't do any damage. And when you do damage, it's less damage than you can restore with a single SP. Or, of course, you could restore the SP by going back to Karlowith. Yeah, so you could probably keep that up forever. The ones that require using your Nether Reserve eventually you'd run out. And then you might be in a sticky situation as you suddenly turn out, oh, wait, I need it for something. Okay, I'm going south to the eastern portal. You're standing on a broad patch of scorched ground at the eastern edge of the basin, which hovers over one of the four Firewind portals. The inky swirling core of the magical gate emits a steady pulsing hum suddenly. You fall back from the flyer-winged gate and instinctively draw yourself into combat-ready stance as the bent figure of Luakin rises out of the ground, as if he has just emerged from an unseen portal. As his feet come to rest on solid earth, his face twists into a cruel expression of rage. For a moment you feel as if you're standing face to face with a wild, savage, desperate creature, something far removed from the frail, our advisor you so vividly recall. So, at last, we are to be rid of you. Okay. Do you know who the we is? Oh, honestly, no. You probably still don't know. Because they have no reason to tell you. You just do what they say anyway. So I can flee. What happens if I do? Or engage. Flee immediately. You turn and take flight from the battle, swiftly retreating to the north. After covering several yards, you glance back over your shoulder, only to see Lurikin, his face twisted into a wicked grin, sinking slowly back into the earth. Matter of moment, he's completely disappeared from view. Okay, I've went north one square. Alright, south again. Yep, Lurikin turns up again. Looks like I'm not going to be able to get into this portal until I deal with him. Hold my ground and engage Lurikin. Icy fingers claw at the edge of your psyche as Lurikin launches a powerful sonic attack. You bravely engage your formidable opponent, eager to exact revenge on the cruel mage for his role in the demise of Kalarith. Begin combat! Yet no chance to subdue him, because there's nothing left of him to save. If there even was that much in the first place, because we don't really know him that well. Admittedly, he did give us ATs, so I guess he was alright. Admittedly, I am very easy to bribe with shiny green coins. Lurikin's eyes emit a faint white glow as the sinister mage launches a psychic attack. Your mind is ravaged by your foe's potent sonic attack for 37 damage. Alright, most of the time he's not getting hit in. Again, potent sonic attack, 45 damage! I'm going to use the Quickstone 20s to get through this quicker. Bash, bash, bash. About 120 damage there. That brought him about quarter of the way down. The sonic attack, 42 damage. He's nearly done. 38 damage. And slain. 267 XP. Without a sound, Lurikin's bloodied remains slumped to the ground at your feet. You step quickly forward, preparing to strike him a final blow. Without warning, his corpse is consumed by a thick, swirling band of grey mist. The mist swiftly departs, leaving no sign of Lurikin's body in its wake. Yeah, well, these people tend not to leave bodies behind. And I guess they're just messing with using this mist to get rid of them this time instead of just fire. Alarmed by the sudden turn of events, but hopeful you've seen the last of him, you warily turn your attention back to the fire-whimmed portal. Alright, a bit of healing first. Because who knows what I will find in there. Step into the portal. Well, the thrones, but what else? You step into the portal and immediately find yourself standing in a small dome chamber, lit by a faint white light. Your wary eyes are drawn to the centre of the room. In the centre of the dome chamber, rising out of the massive block of stone that makes up the floor, is a wide, circular stone plinth. Engravings around the edge of the plinth depict fire and lightning. Standing atop the plinth, its high back and iron-inlaid arms adorned with elaborate engravings is a grand oaken throne. Oh, I'm going to write a list of what all the thrones are made of. You feel compelled to take your place upon its seat, but immediately cast any such notion from your mind. You realise beyond any doubt you must somehow effect the destruction of this throne. A particular item may be of use here. Now, seeing as how they seem to have done everything in this adventure. Platinum and star coins. Somehow I have 7 of them. Still, even though I gave one of them to... I gave one of them to Thane Mazabak? Yeah, well, I guess that was another me that did it. Anyway, use them. 512 experience to general. You draw out one of the platinum and star coins and place it on the seat of the grand wooden throne. A bright white light momentarily envelops both the coin and the throne. The glow quickly fades. The power of this ancient chair, a vessel that long and effortlessly passed through time and space, is now gone forever. Finally, take that throne! A sharp crackling from behind startles you, and you instinctively spin around, only to discover the portal through which you entered the chamber is swiftly closing. Without a moment's notice, you step into the swinging gate, and instantly find yourself once again standing on the eastern edge of the stony basin. Alright, that portal is gone. A thick, swirling band of grey mist forms out of the thin air wires in front of you. The churning band of dark fog rapidly condenses it up. Begins to adopt a new and hideous form. What if I attempt to flee? You manage to evade your enemies. You swiftly retreat to the centre of the stony basin. Alright, so if you flee from something, that instantly gets you to the middle, which can save a bit of time. Now, okay. I'm going to go clockwise, so I'm going to check out the southern barrier now. A sharp crackling sound, followed by a wash of air, fills you with dread. Spinning in the direction of the rush of wind, your heart skips a beat. A broad arc of lightning, undoubtedly launched by one of the stomping constructs, streaks through the air towards you. Only a split second to react. Use the shield. Success. 8 XP to general. Another arc of lightning. Use the shield again. Ooh! Nope, got forward. 17 damage. Alright. A deafening roar, followed immensely by an intense wave of heat, signals the impending arrival of a fearless and deadly flow. Only a split second later, a tall, willowy figure of flame rises out of the ground before you. The fearsome elemental swells in size as it steps forward. Many options. What if I use necromancy? Just timely and clever use. Doesn't say what I actually do. Maybe I just, I don't know, have a ghost rush it. Maybe just use necromantic death touch to just flicker out its life energy. Who knows? You quickly prepare for combat. The chaotic whir of the enemy horde that fills the basin ringing in your ears, you bravely engage the towering fire elemental, begin combat with blazing fire elemental. The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out at you. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, and slain. 24 XP. With a deafening roar, the fire elemental vanishes, leaving in its wake only a thin, curling column of grey smoke. Apparently, fortunately, this is one of those fire elementals that doesn't come back up. I guess they were going for to just get as many things out as possible, rather than, you know, having gimmicks. With the enemy horde still pressing on all sides, you take only a few seconds to catch your breath, for once again setting off across the field of battle. Okay, go south, wash of wind. Bolt of flame, use the shield, 8 XP to general, another bolt of flame, use the shield again, 8 XP to general. Alright, grey mist is trying to form into something. I'll hold my ground and engage the enemy. It's a giant eye, I'm just going to quick combat it now. 26 XP. Alright, and south. Alright, here's another portal. Step into the portal. You step into the portal and immediately find yourself standing in a small dome chamber lit by a faint white light. Your airy eyes are drawn to the centre of the room. In the centre of the dome chamber, rising out of the massive blocks of stone that makes up the floor, is a wide circular stone plinth. Engravings upon the edge of the plinth depict fire and lightning. Standing atop the plinth, its high back and iron inlaid arms adorned with elaborate engravings, is a grand oaken throne. Alright, we've got another oaken throne to the south. You feel compelled to take your place upon its seat, which immediately casts any such notion from your mind. You realise beyond any doubt you must somehow affect the destruction of this throne. Alright, use the Platinum Star coin again. 512 experience to general. You draw out one of the platinum star coins and place it on the seat of the grand wooden throne. The bright white light momentarily envelops both the coin and the throne, but the glow quickly fades. The power of this ancient chair, a vessel that long and effortlessly passed through time and space, is now gone forever. And then I'm back. Rapidly closing portal. Okay, now I've got to make my way to the west side. War, rush of wind fills you with dread. Bolt of flame from the Tarzul. Shield again. Oh, only once this time. Alright, keep going. A shrill hiss rises above the chaotic din that fills the basin, causing you to instinctively draw yourself into defensive stance. A silver armoured Tazaris, clawed hands gripping the hilt of a glistening scimitar, emerges from the surrounding horde and surges across the stony ground towards you, its blazing yellow eyes fixed on its intended prey. I can do all the powers except restoration to get a first hit in, but I don't need that. I could flee, but that'll send me back to the middle and I have to go here again. Hold my ground and engage the enemy. With the chaotic roar of the enemy horde that fills the base and ringing your ears, you bravely engage the silver armour Tazaris. Look, I fought probably nearly 100 of you in the course of this adventure. One more of you isn't going to stop me. Begin combat. The vicious armoured reptilian slashes to his flaming scimitar. Keep going. And slain. 24 XP. Without a sound, the silver armor Tazaris collapses into a bloodied heap at your feet. Presumably, as soon as I'm gone, it'll probably be engulfed in flames, because these things always are. With the enemy horde still pressing in on all sides, it takes only a few seconds to catch your breath before once again setting off across the field of battle. Right, a bit more healing. Oh! The ground beneath your feet shakes as a massive stone and iron construct stomps out of the approaching horde. The towering behemoth pivots its head in your direction, immediately starts towards you, its giant energy entwined fist rising into the air. I can use divination to help, but it doesn't actually say what I do with it. It's a bit of a disappointment. Now, what do I do with divination? Now, what I do is I stand perfectly still and make it look like, and it sets itself up for one of those really knockout blows. But using divination, I managed to duck at the exact last moment. And therefore, it's already reeling from its massive wind-up punch. And I can just jump on its head and start clubbing. With your enemy reeling in the wake of your swift and unexpected attack, you quickly prepare for combat. And the chaotic roar of the enemy horde that fills the basin ringing in your ears, you bravely engage the stone and iron construct. And after this, I'd have fought all the enemy types that are around here. The towering construct smashes you with its energy and tined fists. I go into a battle rage. Look, I'm a bit busy right now. Slain. 25 XP. With a loud groan coupled with the sound of splintering rubble, the massive construct collapses into a twisted heap of rubble, with tremendous bulk sending tremors surging through the ground beneath your feet. With the enemy horde still pressing in on you on all sides, it takes only a few seconds to catch your breath before once again setting off across the field of battle. Okay, and west, it's another of the two remaining Firewind portal. The inky swirling core of the magical gate emits a steady pulsing hum. Step into the portal. You step into the portal and immediately find yourself standing in a small stone chamber, lit by a faint white light. Your wary eyes are swiftly drawn to the centre of the room. In the centre of the dome chamber, Rising out of the massive blocks of stone that make up the floor is a wide circular stone plinth. The engravings around the edge of the plinth depict fire and lightning. Standing atop the plinth, its high back and iron-inlaid arms adorned with elaborate engravings, is a grand oaken throne. Another oaken throne? Alright, we've got oaken to the west as well. You feel compelled to take your place upon its seat. You immediately cast any such notion from your mind. You realise beyond any doubt you must somehow affect the destruction of the throne. Time to use another one of those platinum star coins. Another 512 experience to general. You draw out one of the platinum star coins and place it on the seat of the grand wooden throne. A bright white light momentarily envelops both the coin and the throne, but the glow quickly fades. The power of this ancient chair, a vessel that long and effortlessly passed through both time and space, is now gone forever. Alright, and then I'm back on the western edge of the Stony Basin. Alright, just the last one to go. Stomping stone and iron constructs, vicious bands of fire-rolling Khazar and towering beings of flame and swirling bands of grey mist. Okay. Looks like with less of the portals, I'm getting into less fights. Or maybe I just got really lucky. Another construct. Engage the enemy. Just quick combat it. 27 XP. Yeah. I'm definitely getting into less fights now. What with... With only one portal just constantly churning foes out, there just isn't that many of them anymore. It's an elemental. Hold my ground and engage the elemental. Quick combat. And slain. Another 26 XP. Alright, I think we're pretty much done. There's just one more portal to go. To the east, the northern portal, step into the portal. You step into the portal and immediately find yourself standing in a small dome chamber lit by a faint white light. Your airy eyes are drawn to the centre of the room. In the centre of the dome chamber, rising out of the massive block of stones that make up the floor, is a wide circular stone plinth. Engravings around the edge of the plinth depict fire and lightning. Standing atop the plinth, its high back and its iron-inlaid arms hopelessly charred, is a once grand throne of Alderwood. You instantly recognise the throne to be the same one you last encountered in the strange vertical vessel in the forest outside Cardson 500 years ago. You realise beyond any doubt you must somehow effect the final destruction of the throne. Alright, considering how difficult this throne has been to destroy. Wait a minute. I mean, didn't we encounter an Ashwood throne in the... An Ashwood throne in... In the keep below Songhai Island. So where's that go? We've destroyed three oaken thrones, and there's an Alder throne to the north. I'm pretty sure Owl said there were five. Well, five we know about, and we're only destroying four here. Well, we can't say, oh, we already destroyed the Alder throne in part. Couple of parts back, because this is it, it's not destroyed. Okay. Maybe that's just the best we can do. Or maybe somehow we, in this timeline, we already sneaked onto Sarngard Island, where admittedly that's probably the throne that we most know the location of and which we can get to without causing problems. Or maybe the thrones have moved around a bit in this timeline and one of them was destroyed anyway. Somewhere, somehow, maybe there was one in Stonemarsh and Thane Thorlund just dealt with it on his own. Maybe with a bit of hope from me. Can't tell what's previously happened because we just kind of jumped in. We just jumped into this timeline right at the very end after, well, a lot of stuff happened, no doubt. Now, if Swift was as popular as it should be, someone would have already wrote an elaborate novel-sized fan fiction explaining exactly what has happened in this timeline that led to this point. But we're not that popular, so you'll just have to make it up yourself and not rely on someone else. Maybe you'll write that elaborate fan fiction instead. That would be nice. All right, once again, Platinum and Star Coin. All right, I'm just going to write okay, yeah. Yeah, so 3 Oaken Thrones and 1 Alder. Honestly, I thought there'd be more variety of different types of throne, but yeah. Oh well. Step back through the portal. Step into the portal. Yeah, Platinum and Star Coin. 512 experience to general. You draw out the Platinum and Star Coins and place it on the seat of the grand wooden throne. A white light momentarily envelops both the throne, coin and the throne, but the glow quickly fades, suddenly. A sudden, blinding flash of light fills the chamber. You quickly fall back from the throne, instinctively shielding your eyes from the dazzling glare as a ball of fire and several broad arcs of lightning rise up from the plinth to envelop the Alderwood throne. The glare somewhat dims as the fire recedes, allowing you to return your gaze to the throne. There, seated upon the grand seat, is the slight, bent figure of Lurikin. The ghostly mage turns towards you, his withered face bearing an expression that betrays unspoken fears and long-hidden anguish. Yep, Lurikin. The throne got him. Used him up. Now he's depleted utterly. And all he can do now is burn with the throne. Well, I just hope there's enough of your soul left that you can go somewhere. Or if there isn't, that you can finally end. The man you first encountered on the shores of Sarngard Isle nods once more and raises his hand as the fire and lightning again leap from the surface of the plinth to envelop the throne. As the raging flames swiftly consume the throne and its ghostly occupant, you suddenly realise the wall of fire and lightning is actually alive. Startled by the unnerving revelation, you draw yourself into a defensive stance as the towering being of flame and energy turns its faceless gaze towards you, staring at the roaring band of crimson fire that continues to devour the throne. You sense both profound intelligence and utter indifference to your presence. Okay, now is the flame the things that's destroying the throne, or is this just the last gasp of the consciousness of the throne, or the consciousness behind the throne, just somehow jumping into the very fire that's destroying it? Whoa, now that is just something, definitely something. Lurikin's ghastly screams will haunt your quietest moments for the rest of your life. In his final seconds, sees upon the charred Alderwood throne. He shrieks in agony as the ghostly being of fire and light ravishly consumes his ghostly form. With a deafening roar, a broad column of flame shoots up from the seas of the flame and strikes the dome ceiling, showering you with countless smouldering cinders and small fragments of fire-blackened stones. When at last the dazzling light that fills the chamber fades, you uncover your eyes and gaze at the plinth rising out of the centre of the floor. Only a small pile of dark ash remains to mark the spot upon which the throne and its occupant stood only moments ago. Finally! It's definitely gone! Recalling the unnerving speed with which the other portals close, you promptly turn to step back through the fire-winged gate. But as you do, you're subtly overcome by a strange, disorientating sensation. Now I wonder, is it designed? Is this quest designed so that, pretty much no matter how you do it, the last throne you encounter is the Elder Throne, with Lucarin sitting on it? That would explain why it knows that, hey, you know the other thrones burn quickly. But as you do, you're suddenly overcome by a strange, disorienting sensation. Unable to retain your footing, you stagger forwards and collapse to your knees, your head spinning as you attempt to steady yourself on your shaking hands. An overwhelming sense of weariness washes over you. Looking up in the direction of the portal, you witness a strange scene beginning to take form against the swirling mist that churns through the chamber. A vivid, colourful scene rapidly unfolds against the backdrop of swirling grey mist that now fills the dome chamber. You watch, unable to move, as the image of an island rising out of a raging sea slowly takes shape. A vast region of rolling green hills fall away from the edge of the savage ocean, sweeping inland across the wild, rugged landscape, painted a lurid hue of crimson by the broad rays of the setting sun. Suddenly, the shadowy image of a tower looms into view, soaring to impossible heights as it quickly blots out the west of its surroundings. A lone figure, silhouette of a man, stands atop the tower, pressing up against the dark structure's ancient battlements. Without a sound, the figure collapses onto the seat of a grand chair, a large ornate throne that slides silently out of the shadows. The faceless man sits back upon the throne and raises both his arms skyward. A soft whimper, that of a voice utterly unknown and yet unmistakably familiar, echoes through the mist-filled chamber. We are not the same. We are no different. I do not remember. I cannot forget. You feel compelled to answer the whisper, even if just to acknowledge that it's not gone unheard. Before you can even part your lips, the image against the mist fades. Everything goes black. You wake with a start, what seems like only moments later, and find yourself staring up at the grey, cloud-filled sky that slowly churns high above the stony basin. Suddenly, you slide several feet along the ground on your back. The pair of hands hooked under your arms release their grip, and suddenly you're picked up and moved in, and just carried away. The pair of hands, just gently cradling me, release their grip, and a familiar, smiling, golden-bearded face appears before you, blocking your view of the swirling sky. You look up at the beaming face of Thane Poland and can't hope but adopt a portion of his broad grin. He's alive! Yay! Woohoo! He's alive! And he's still a Thane! Pretty much the same person in this timeline. Yeah! Thane Poland! He's back! The Thane is back! Woohoo! I'd have never admitted to dragging you so unceremoniously, he says, why? But how can I now deny it? What I wanted to do... I never admit to just carrying you so unceremoniously, but how can I now deny it? I just wanted to be sure you weren't too close to where that portal was. After all, no good can ever come of such things. We only just managed to pull you out of that portal before it closed, he says, shaking its head. You could have waited for us, Sir Croakington. We found a small army of Tarzal waiting for us on the road, and we're just slightly waylaid. I mean, good job they were there to deal with it. That meant I was only dealing with a small army, rather than two small armies, which combined make a medium army. And that's probably a little bit too much. The Fane smirks and tells you not to attempt to get up just yet. Give yourself a few moments, he says, casting a glance in the direction of a group of men, as they attempt to move a large fragment of one of the many constructs that litter the field of battle. You're likely to find yourself just a bit more unsteady than you might lead yourself to believe. You rise up on your elbows and look in all directions, surprised to find that a large mixed force of border rangers, soldiers and mercenaries are searching through the remains of countless slain Tazar and shattered constructs that lie across the floor of the basin. I guess his forces just dealt with whatever was left. Thane Porin places his hands on his hips and allows his gaze to wander. He says nothing, but you instinctively sense he is weary. Suddenly, a figure several yards to your left stands up from examining the bloody corpse of the armored Tazar and turns to face you. Your heart skips a beat and your pulse quickens as the leather-clad man, his shoulders draped with a dark blue cape, steps towards you and smiled. His face is somehow different than you recall, and its simple beauty, coupled with welcome comfort effortlessly radiated by the genuine warmth of an ever-broadening smile, leaves you no doubt regarding his identity. Stepping towards you, picking his way around the carnage that litters the field of battle, is a man forever fondly ensconced in your memory. Twice. Most recently as the bold and virtuous Thane Porin, and another time and place, seemingly far removed from the present, as the hunter Arthurwook. Okay, so that's who Thane Forland is. Alright, good. Good all round. Turned out good for everyone except Uriel. It was a good Thane who pulled you out of there, says Thane Porin, slapping Tharkov Arthurwook on the shoulder. I dare say that had the portal closed, you'd have never known what had become of you. Don't misunderstand, Sir Croakington. Not one among us desires your gratitude for that. It is we who owe you a debt of gratitude that will likely never be fully repaid. Thane Porin reaches down and helps you to your feet. You rise unsteadily and discover it takes great effort to remain standing. Your weariness in your limbs and the dull ache coursing through your body is like nothing you ever experienced. Thane Porin, the man you remember best as the huntsman, Arthurwook, steps forward and initiates your shoulder cross. As you reach out to meet him in the gesture, he suddenly leans in close to your ear. I remember, Sir Croakington, he whispers. Or should I continue to call you regular dude? I do not fully understand how it is I can remember that which seemingly never was, and yet I've never forgotten it. Arthurwook pulls back and extends his left hand. There. Now, the question is, when did the memories of Hunter Yu just come into your mind? Did they just come in simultaneously with when you would have experienced them in the other timeline? Or have you always known them since you were a baby? Don't know. It's wibbly wobbly. It's timey wimey. Althrock pulls back and extends his left hand. There, lying in the centre of his open palm, is an object with which you're all too familiar. You stare down at the platinum star coin resting his hand. Before you quite know what is happening, Althrock leans in and places a tender kiss on your hot forehead. Thane Poulin's eyes widen, but he says nothing. No further words are exchanged as you make your way towards the southern edge of the basin, the company of the two Thanes. As you pass by the spot where the body of Carliff lay, you pause down for a moment and gaze down upon the empty, stony patch of earth. You turn to find both Thane Poland and Thane Fallen standing several yards to the south, apparently waiting for you to catch up. Indifferent to their curious looks, you scoop down and place the remainder of the platinum star coins on the middle of the stony patch. Then, rising to your full height, okay, which admittedly isn't that much more steadily than before, you rejoin your distinguished companions and continue on your way out of the basin that reeks overwhelmingly of death. And that is the end of this scenario. We get 8,192 experience to general and 2,048 experience to all skills and powers, which is a lot. That is a lot of experience. Especially once you get the quick stone 10% bonus, because that all skills and powers thing will be times by 28 or so. So 10% of that we're talking another 5,000 or so general experience just from the quickstone bonus, which is nice. If I ever remember to actually cash it in. Anyhow, that's that for now. I guess, we're 100% success, and, I happen to remember that the next part, there's no way to actually fail, so we've 100%ed. 100%ed Proving Ground 6. Well, admittedly, we did fail abundantly, but that disappeared into a wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey hole. So, as far as everyone's concerned, we 100%ed it. Even though you all know I didn't. Even though you know I made a terrible and stupid mistake. That the game deliberately said, if you pick this option, you will die. But then I picked that option, and then I died. And then I did it again, and I didn't pick that option. And the CRS was very, very angry at me for having to use her time meddling powers to fix my own stupidity. You know, rather than the deviousness of their enemies. Anyway, next time Proving Grounds 6 will conclude with the scenario called A Visit. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.